Oro Olorun ye. Oro Olorun lagbara. Oro Olorun ye. Aiku ni titi aye. Oro Olorun ye. Oro Olorun lagbara. Let's sing one more. So, let the choir do the remix of that song, you know? You see the remix of No Turning Back, you know? Ko so rin kan tuntun. Do you understand? Remix lanje, you know? Let me provoke your thoughts a bit before I will share some. I'm glad I got some feedback from Sunday message, and I was blessed myself. I one or two people that don't normally even talk to me, even chat, they send messages. Somebody came for the first time and said she was glad that she came, and shared that message. Three other four, five people, you know. Me, myself, that I preach it, I didn't know that it was that part of actually. I just thought I did my job. But I want to share this with you very quickly so that you can give more attention and details to the Word of God. Now, when you listen to God's Word and you open your heart, you see, as you are listening to the Word of God, the Word is working in your life. I don't want you to forget that. As you listen, you make attempt. You just bring yourself under. So that's the way I want to put it. You bring yourself under the influence of the Word. No matter the station you have, that Word is making impacts in your life. It's doing something in your life. There's an inherent ability in the Word to be effective. So, all that you need to do is to bring yourself under that influence. And that's why I'm a bit upset, you know, especially when people that are close to me, you know, they give excuse not to come to church. I will honor your excuse, but inside I'm upset. You know, because, you see, the changing elements of our destiny, of our lives, is God's Word. That's a changing element. You can try this for a month. Go get the Word of God that is in tape. Be playing it. Sleep, wake up on it. Just be playing it. You find out that something will change in your life after 4 weeks. Because the Word is spirit. They understand, you don't even need to be awake. When you are listening and you sleep off on it, it's still depositing inside your spirit. So, I say that to say this, that our lives, sometimes, as a matter of fact, most of the time, might not receive a sudden change, but our lives do receive a gradual change. As long as we don't run away from the Word of God. I will read three passages. I will not preach because I can teach on those passages actually. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of man, 18:14, you can write it if you're not quick enough to talk to it. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. That is a true statement. And that's why, you see, when you give up on the day of adversity, he said your strength is not enough. Now, that strength is not physical strength. That strength is spiritual strength. And this is the strength, your spirit. You know, when you are going through a hard time, when you are going through a bad time, when you are going through a season of failure, neglect, abandonment, it is your spirit that is meant to sustain you so that you can come out of it. You see, that season is not that God has abandoned you. It's not that God is no longer with you. Do you see that? The only thing is that you are just overwhelmed by that season, by that situation. But it is your spirit that will create the consciousness of God that will make you to say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do you understand that? Because except your spirit is strong, you cannot affirm that. Did you see that? Family issues, family challenges. When you see family scatter, you see people, children departing. It is because the spirit of a man has used to sustain it that time. And that's why I said, but a wounded spirit who can bear. Do you see that? When a spirit is wounded, you can bear. Your spirit can be wounded. If you permit, through offense, through what your wife has done, I say, my wife has done, do you see that? You know, or you say, this child, I will disown you. You are an embarrassment. You are, do you understand that? Or you lost your job, you lost some money, and then, you say, I'm no longer going to church. It's because the spirit is wounded. It's because the spirit is wounded. You know, you will not allow God to minister to you. You will not allow God to comfort you. You will not allow God to speak to you. It's because the spirit is wounded. So, we come like this so that our spirit will be strong enough to sustain us. So when you are teaching about Moses, when you are teaching about dive, when you are teaching about God's word, is so that our spirit can be strong enough to sustain in the day of adversity. And that's why it's perplexing when people don't present themselves before God. That's why it's perplexing when people don't expose themselves to God. That's why it's perplexing when people don't bother to serve God. You know, the devil will give all of us enough excuse not to present ourselves before God. And fantastic ones, though, the ones that even the hearer cannot beat. Do you get that? But see what the Bible says. I want you to see this. And this is why we should come. In Proverbs 20:27, he now says this. Proverbs 20:27, he said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You know, the spirit that will sustain you on the day of adversity. So, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So, the fact that your spirit is a candle, you know, of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly, So a candle can be lit and a candle can be off. If the candle is off, then it cannot strengthen the spirit. It cannot have communication with God. There's no way, you know, that spirit can see nothing. It carries the potential to see. Because the candle has potential, you know, to give light. The candle has the potential to take away darkness. But it's not automatic. And this is what you need to do. In Proverbs 20:27, see what the Bible says. It said, in Psalm 27:28, see what it says here. 18:28. See what it says. 18:20, I'm sorry. He said, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." You get that? Now, the candle of the Lord, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. So, it can be on, it can be off. But see what the Lord says here. He said, "But God will light the candle." What it means is this. I have a candle. It can be useful, it cannot be useful. So, but the way to be useful is now to carry the candle. Do you understand that? You know, if you want to light a candle, you stick a match, or there's another candle that is lit. You will not carry your own candle to it. So, the process of getting your candle lit is carry ever lit candle, and that is God. Carry your candle, you know, to God's candle to get it lit. The process of getting your candle lit, one of it is what we are doing here. And so if you don't come and get it lit, then how can your spirit be strong? Look at it this way again. The storm of life, the challenges of the life, our problems are no. You know that if you had a candle lit and then you have wind, it can blow it off. You know that. So the fact that I have that candle lit now does not mean that candle can remain lit forever. Because storms can blow it off. Wind can blow it off. Even rain can blow it off. That is when we are saying that the spirit of man will sustain him in the day of adversity. So adversity can blow off the candle. Common sense, therefore. I know I have the challenge. Wind can come. Adversity can come. So, what do I need to do? Let my candle be closed at all times to the candle that can never go off. Did you get that? If you got that, say amen. Amen. That's the secret of Christian living. Put your candle close to the candle that no wind can blow off, no storm can blow off, no water can blow off, so that even if that candle, my own candle, is getting dim, you know, but because of the influence of this other candle, it can be on all the time. And that's why every Christian, use any opportunity of rebirth. You know, I don't know who I was talking to. Right, somebody in my office, right, someone, yes, I was preaching. And I said, everything in life undergoes rebirth. That's the way God has put it. Why do you call metamorphosis in biology? It's a process of rebirth. Some animals, during a season, they will go underwater. Some under soil. And they stay there for a year. And then they come out again. That's the way God has made life. There must be rebirths. And one of the ways a believer, you know, you undergo rebirth is make sure that you are close to God. And that's why I say a serious Christian, you don't compromise an opportunity. You know, some people sometimes say that, do you have to come? You don't have to come. Honestly. There's no law that says you must come. But a Christian that understands what I'm saying this morning, to you, you will say, it is compulsory that I go. You understand that the fact that you haven't come to Bible study does not mean you are not a Christian. It does not mean that you're backsliding. That's not what I'm saying. But a Christian that wants to grow, you present yourself, you know, opportunity at every time to add a little here, a little there, a little here, a little there to your faith. And that's why when you have an opportunity of Bible study once in a week, you don't want to miss it because it's a little here. When you have an opportunity of another meeting that is spiritual, you want to attend. You know why? Because a little there. When Sunday service comes, you know, you don't want to miss it. You know why? Because it is another a little there. That is the way the water will flow, ankle length. It will flow knee length. It will flow hip length. It will flow to your chest. And then you begin to swim. But a lot of us, we run away a lot. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Every excuse takes you away from eternal light, God's light. Every excuse. It might be a good one, but know that it takes you away. For example, people that didn't come to church on Sunday now, you know, you missed. The anointing of being in the congregation is different from anointing of listening to it again. There are two different things. The anointing, because the way God sets the church is for us to come together. That's why in Revelation, it talks about seven golden candles and the one in the midst of it. That is the setting of God. And God, when he was saying that in Revelation, he knew about COVID and post-COVID. He knew about online. He knew about watch online. Do you get what I mean? Or do you want to say God? You want to say God is not a modern God? You want to say God does not know about online? But yet, he set the church. Do you understand that? If it is absolutely, you know, difficult for you to come, you know it's occasional. But it's not you make a practice of not coming and you make a practice of joining online. No, that is, you won't get the blessing. You know God bless you. So adjust your life. Because when you set yourself like this to God's word, it's changing something in your life. You might not know. It's changing. It's shifting. Because he said the word, you know, grew and overcame. He did not say that somebody grew the word. He did not say that people congregated around the word. The word grew. So, when you take on the word, when you expose yourself to God's word, it's growing on the inside of you. Whether you feel it, whether you don't feel it, it's growing. And it will overcome. So, it is the word that will cause your situation to overcome. And that's why you say it to yourself, that's why you listen to it, that's why you quote it. So, when you are doing that, the word is doing something in your life. The word is doing something in your life. As you are seated now, the word is healing you. Do you get that? It's not that I'm praying. I'm telling you what is happening. As you are sitting, I'm not preaching about healing. But because I'm preaching God's word, except the only thing you have to be careful. Don't put yourself under a pastor that will be telling a story. You know, Papa and Guinea worm. Do you understand that?
You know, and then the pastor will say, this is my test for today. Then he will talk about what happened by that great YouTube. And also about Ogun Hitler. He won't know my learning law, yeah, Lofin learning law, yeah.
Because it is God's word that he promised that he will honor. It is not any pastor's story. It will interest you to know that it's not even testimony that he will honor. Praise God. So if you congregate under, you know, an atmosphere that is only testimony that the man is preaching, he will talk to you about two people that rose up when he was in Oklahoma. And he talked to you about people that got houses when he prayed for them in Atlanta. He will talk about one person that the leg grew when he was in Guinea. And you know, so, man of God, you are wasting your time. It is his word that he will honor. And so, when you listen to God's word, do you see that? Just expose yourself to it. Just stay. Just sit under it. He's doing something in your life. And then you begin to see changes come. You'll be wondering. Healing will happen. You'll be wondering. Provision will happen. You know, you'll be wondering. Like a sister in a midst that got a job. You understand that? Somebody just knows somebody else. I say, there's job. And the sister say, I don't like that job because it will prevent me from coming, you know, to clean church. It will prevent me from coming to Bible study. I'm alone here. I said, don't worry. Eja try for you meta. It's true. Let's try for 3 months. And because of that desire, know that God can get that person a better job. God's word produces in your life. Just expose yourself to it. Don't give us ojoro mi wa. Irinse mi o lo. Mi o lowo moto mi wa. Mantoro Olorun se ni. When you sit under it, just the atmosphere it creates, things happen in your life. Things happens in your children's life. Praise God. And so, when you come like this, come with an expectation. Don't ever come before God without expectation. Don't ever. You waste the moments. You waste the hour. You waste the opportunity. You know, there was a time the Bible says, and the word of the Lord was cast. It was a significant season. That's why the Bible recorded it. Significant season. That's why the Bible recorded it. And the word of the Lord was cast. And you know what? The word of God is cast now too. Many churches, they don't preach God's word. You go to some churches, their praise worship is 1 hour. And if they are singing spiritual song, it's a different thing. You see, they be sweating like this. Hey, I want me okay, yeah, you know, hey, you go, I you me, you know, yeah, man, I told you, go lie, I'm only a tenu church. You understand? Oh, call you, Elijah, man, we'll daddy, like, you want to lock out here, king, while I hear. You understand? And then they will sweat. You understand that? They will sweat, they will give announcement. He said, the time has gone. Let me quickly share one thought with you. One lolly. God's word is cast in those kind of churches. And they are churches. But those are kind of atmosphere that excites some of us. I say this so that you can take heed. Hey, brothers, sisters, God's word is everything. God's word is everything. Everything in capital. May you never have what God and what his word, you know, has not provided for you. May you not have it. It's a hard prayer, but it's prayer that you need. Let it be birthed by the word. And through the word. And for God. That's the essence of our life. Let it be bad. So always bring your candle. Let it be lit by God. That's when you fulfill purpose. And that's how Moses fulfilled his purpose. You know, I was talking to Ross about Moses, the meekest. I was making some point before I went on break. And I said,
you will see that Moses' life. Okay, for a start, let me read Acts chapter 7. You know, so to get us into it. Acts chapter 7. But when the time of promise drew near, which God sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph, descended subtly with her kindred, and even entreated her father, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they may not live. In which time Moses was born. Praise God. You know, I spoke to us about season. I spoke to us about time in our lives, and things happen, times and season. You know, what I'm saying is just to summarize where I've been. So you need to go and get it and listen to it. You know, time, season is a critical tool in the hand of God for our lives. It's critical. God does not live in time, but God has ordained time so that man can give a heart to wisdom. So, and one of the things, a creation of purpose, you know, I've spoken so much and a lot about purpose, you know, a creation of purpose must understand, and which I will just drop tonight, is you must understand time, season. It's critical. A lot of people have missed out in life because they don't understand time and season. So you need to get that. You know, because you see here, the Bible talks about in which time. Another thing I want you to see here is I want you to see the relationship, because the story of Moses actually is like the story of Jesus Christ. Moses was born to deliver a people. Jesus was born to deliver the world. And the two of them, they came. And by extension, each one of us will surface on the season of life. We surface on the season of life as an answer to a cry. You might not know it. Yours might not be big. You know, Moses was about Israel. Jesus was about the world. Yours might be about a person. And that is why I always pray this prayer. Do you understand that? I say, may your life and season count. I say that in people's birthday. Because, listen, if your purpose is to get a soul saved and you miss getting that soul saved, your life has become et cetera. You know et cetera. When they mention Tolu, Ayo, Ade, et cetera. Your life don't become et cetera be that. So, you must celebrate the fact that your life is an answer to a cry. It might be an answer to a nation, cry to a nation. It might be answer to a cry of a village. It might be answer to a cry, you know, of an adubo or of a family. Some of you, you were called to bring your family into Christ. Listen now. I've never said this to you. Listen to what I'm going to say. The fact that you are called does not necessarily mean that you fulfill your call in church. So the fact that you're called does not necessarily mean that you're a pastor. Did you get that? David was not called a pastor. He was called to be a king. Gideon was not called to be a priest. He was called, you know, to be a deliverer of the people. So your calling actually might be to fulfill your own purpose, you know, in the game of power. Politics, for example. Politics. Administration, for example. God can put you in a position through which you can get a whole company saved. So when I say purpose call, so I want you to better position it. So I'm not necessarily saying that you're a pastor. I'm not saying you're a prophet. Do you get what I mean? Moses was not called, well, Moses is a pastor. Moses was called a leader to deliver the people. So get that clear. And that's why you have to be sensitive, both your life in church and outside it. You know, one of the reasons why people lose position, I need to tell you today, they just sat there. You know, somebody was talking to me, a big man in a company, and they just finished a board meeting. And the CEO said, so, don't go. I said, yes, sir. And when everybody had gone, he said, you go resign. Chemoche, you know, Oshé? The person I went to meet, HR, as far as I'm concerned, Oshé, CEO. You know, this person that, he said, the CEO gives him car almost every year. Do you understand that? He will change his car almost every year. But it's the same CEO that said, it is done. And said, they gave him, I think, 3 months salary. Do you understand? In lieu of me going. It's only 1 month salary. The law says in lieu of going, isn't it? Either the company will give you a return to the company. They say, 3 months. And that's it. You know, sometimes, I was talking to a political leader. I said, every person in position of authority must learn to leave when the ovation is loudest. That is when you understand purpose. That person, probably God has been saying, like God has been saying to Abraham, leave your kindred. Do you understand that? But when Terah died, do you understand that? He now remembered that God had said. Because it's not when Terah died that God said. That chapter opened, and God had said to Abraham. That's English, isn't it? So it's not that God is on, it's not that when they finish burying the dad, God has said you must leave. Mm-mm. God has said, probably the protection of the father, probably the protection of the family name, probably the protection of the prosperity, you know, of the family was not making him to hear. So God said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to break the crutches. Some of us, it happened like that in our life. The situation some of us are find ourselves is not out of God's wickedness, it's out of God's love. So that while you are surrounded by pleasure, you are surrounded by a lot of strength. So some might need to lose a job so that you hear. You don't have to lose that job. But the job did not allow you to hear. So God will make you to lose the job. You don't have to lose that friend. But because the friend has become like a God to you. So you lose the friend. What happened to Abraham and Lot? So we need to get that time purpose. We need to know that your life is an answer to a cry, to a yearning. It's going to be in a business place. You know, I have one or two people in this church. One of them is there seated. He wants to be governor of Osun State. That man that is there. They understand that. And that's the way they will say it. And you see tomorrow now, something we push somebody, somebody. I can recall nominated. A governor has become a member of my church. They understand? You know, there's someone that wants to become local government chairman in 2027. Do you understand? I can plan another time. It might be that is the call through which they will deliver their own people. Politics, a lot of Christians are not there. The few that are there, they are not strong enough for it. The candle, the wind of dollars and naira, because the people in politics, if you know the money they make, Somebody said they should not take that car. They should not take, you know, is he? I think he's a loopy. They are fighting their people. He said, why are you two taking the car? I want you to hear that one. Look, they understand that. Look, if you got to a position, like I was telling some people, if you got to a position and they said that you have an official car, so my own boy, I'm in for official car. Again, because the people are suffering, you need official. I need that car to deliver the people. You understand? You see, when God lifts you up to a certain position, there are certain blessings attached to it. I'm telling you on Sunday, certain position, they say you have an official house, you have an official car. It's the position. If you don't want that official car, don't take the position. You understand? Because they tell you to go. You know why? That car is the representative of that company. You don't know what I'm talking about? You go and look for big contracts. Take Okada. Eminently qualified by Okada. Look below. Somebody takes a Jeep. He's not as qualified as you. See the person. You don't know anybody. You don't know anybody. Do you understand? Submit your paper. They're not going to give you because you took Okada. You know what the company we think is a lay. It's a share. God can call you into politics so he can change the face of it. Like I said to us in this story, what happened at that time is a play of political game, you know, and policy. The Bible says the Egyptians just sat down. They said the rates at which Israelites are multiplying, they will take over our land. Is that not politics? It's not this spirit, it's politics. He said the way they are delivering, twins, triplets, and then they don't have miscarriage. There's no... We don't need to do cervical sacrilege. We don't need to. There's no delivery complication. No antepartum mirror, no postpartum memory. But and then they are still suffering demo. But the Egyptians, as they're having miscarriage, so are they having puerperal psychosis and pregnancy induced hypertension, and they are having a woman's grim, you know, they're having everything. They say, these people are stranger. They will multiply. And listen, when you do politics, what do? Is it not a game of number? One Israelite will carry Akboti, and because Israelites are more in a strange land, what will happen? They will win. So what started that crisis was political calculation. And that's why I pity Christian. He said, "Lossy politics. I don't want to. Politics will pollute me. Politics will pollute. If you are wagon, you're not polluted already." So I want us to get that. So we move from there next week by the grace of God. And I want us to put our heart to this. Because I find out that the story of Moses and the story of the land touches every aspect of our lives. Now we are talking about politics. It's in the Bible. In the Bible. I see you next week Tuesday. Please come. May the Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit in Jesus' name. I cover you with the blood of Jesus and I grant you speed. Amen. Praise God.